You're listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. For I Will Be With You. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible.
Welcome to For I Will Be With You. This is the first episode of the year. And just as a quick recap of what we're doing here with this project, with this podcast, and the book, For I Will Be With You, is I'm going to go through the entire Pentateuch, the entire first five books of the Bible, taking selections from different verses in order as we go through the five books. And for each verse that I select, one for each day of the year, there'll be 365 daily reflections put into weeks. This is the first week episode, which will have the first 7 days. I'm going to look at ways of relating the verses of the Bible to concepts of 12-step recovery. So it's the first day of the year. It's January 1st, first episode of the series. So we're going to start with Genesis 1:1. It's January 1st, 1:1. We're going to start with Genesis 1:1. And Genesis 1:1, as most of us know, contains the famous line, "In the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth." This is a very profound idea to start with when you're trying to connect recovery with the Bible. It's really, in my view, it's like step zero of the 12 steps. Before we can even think about a higher power, we need to acknowledge that this higher power created everything in our lives, created the world, the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars. Everything we have, everything that we are, comes from God. And before that, there was nothingness. In the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth. And one thing that I want to point out, that this, when I'm reading this too, this might sound a little bit different from some other translations of the biblical Hebrew that you've heard. Sometimes this is translated as, "In the beginning God created." The original Hebrew is more accurately translated as, "In the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth," which implies that God never really stopped creating. He's constantly creating the world anew, and we can constantly create ourselves anew. The work is never done. But keeping in mind that God created the world and everything in it, if we ever needed a quick wake-up call about who we are, where we and all that we value comes from, we need to read no further than this opening line of the Torah. Everything is in God's hands. Your life, your success or failure in life and recovery is in God's hands. The one that is powerful enough to create the world can be the higher power that can give you the strength to deliver you from addiction. Everything that you have, all your possessions, all your success, all your money, all your relationships, comes from God. In recovery, it helps to remember this fact. As alcoholics, we often have a tendency to think, I did all this for myself. I made all this money for myself. I made all this success for myself. Or conversely, I lost all this money myself. I lost all this success myself. But if you're taking a lot of credit for yourself, I did it myself, I relied on myself, that's a form of self-seeking. Now, of course, it's a tricky little balance. God expects us to do our work, to provide for ourselves and be successful and have what we need in life. But God is the one who delivers it to us, because God created everything in the universe. God created all of that money in your wallet. God created the materials that build that fancy house and that fancy car. If you are self-involved and self-seeking, that can interfere with recovery. However, if you trust in God to give you the income and possessions you need, the success that you need, the status that you need, what you can handle and no more, then you begin to be satisfied with what you have. This is a very helpful idea in recovery, learning to be satisfied with what you have, or at least learning to turn down the resentments that can come up when you feel like you don't have what you deserve or what you need. If you can start to worry less about these problems, then you will be loosening the hold that these drivers of relapse and addiction have over you. Genesis 1:5 reads, God called to the light day, and to the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. God separates light from darkness. When we are in the grip of our addictions, our lives seem to be permanently dark. We live in an eternal night of the soul, as we desperately grasp for our next hit of whatever it is we think will fix us. If you've been in addiction and alcoholism, you know what I'm talking about. But God created light. He has the power to bring us into the light of recovery. He turns the long night of addiction and the struggle of recovery to the light of sobriety and good recovery. God also created time. By separating day and night, God gives us the days of our lives and the days of our recovery. As we say in the program, it's a day at a time. And God gives us that day at a time, because God created the first day by separating light from dark. If we keep going, this is the process of the podcast and of the book. I'm going to read a verse from the Bible for each day of the week. For the third day of the year, in Genesis 2:15, the Bible says, God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. So, the Torah is talking about Adam. God puts Adam in the Garden of Eden. The question that comes up, if you're reading this carefully, is, what work was Adam supposed to do in the Garden of Eden? Everything grew on its own. The garden was a natural garden. Everything that Adam could possibly want was already there. God wanted Adam to observe God's commandments and grow in spiritual awareness. This is an interpretation of this verse of why God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden to work it. That the work that he was meant to do was spiritual work. That was Adam's work. As recovering addicts, this is our work as well. Our job in recovery is to work on ourselves. If we work on ourselves, devoting ourselves to follow the commandments of the Bible and learning, dedicating ourselves to increasing our spiritual selves, we are doing the important task that has been assigned to us in recovery. Like Adam, we have a clear mission. Sometimes, though, in the fog of the disease, we cannot see how simple the assignment is. Our homework in recovery, therefore, is to think about the simplicity, but also the enormity of this work. We can do it, though. By telling us about Adam's work in the Garden of Eden, God is showing us how to do our work in recovery. Genesis 2:18 says, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper corresponding to him." Now, of course, we're talking about Eve. Eve, the first woman, is going to be Adam's helper. Whatever your marital status, the program encourages you to work hard on your primary love relationship. This is not always easy, as we may know from our experience. Sometimes it's the stress of a relationship that actually pushes us into addiction. Returning to a bad relationship in recovery can increase our risk of relapse. Or it may be that in our addiction we have hurt those closest to us. In that case, we owe amends to our partners. However, regardless of situation, as the verse tells us, we are better off not being alone. We need our partners to help us in our recovery, and they need us to be the best possible people we can be in recovery. One additional comment, though, on this is that, as a lot of us know, it sometimes is not a good idea to rush into new relationships early in recovery. That's often a very unwise thing to do. So I think that the Bible is encouraging us to be in relationships and to be good to the people we're in relationships with. But I think that it's something that if you're new in recovery and you're not in a relationship, it's important to take your time and perhaps run things by your sponsor before you jump into any relationships with other people. Genesis 3:4 tells another very familiar story. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die," meaning you will not die when you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. The verse continues, "For God knows that on the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and bad." This famous exchange highlights a behavior that, as addicts and alcoholics, we probably know pretty well: rationalization. The act of talking ourselves into something that we know is wrong, or that we have been expressly forbidden from doing, is a classic of addictive behavior and poor recovery. Think about, perhaps, if you've ever said to yourself, "Just one won't hurt. Just one drink. One more drink, it won't hurt." That's a classic rationalization. This is very much like the serpent telling Eve, "You will not die when you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge." She knows she's not supposed to do it, but she does the rationalization. In terms of recovery, we can look at the serpent in this verse as representing the inner addict, the addict self, the voice that tells us that the bad thing we know we shouldn't do is actually good for us. It's very backwards kind of thinking, and we know how destructive it can be. The serpent, the addict self, wants what is bad for us. Alternatively, we can see the serpent here as the friend and enabler who helps us ease into acting out. I think we've all had friends like this who, for their own reasons, and maybe not for bad reasons, maybe they want us to keep them company, or they don't want to feel alone in their own addictive or bad behavior, they encourage us or convince us to do things that are self-destructive. The challenge that we face as addicts is to ask God to protect us from these evil influences and keep us in recovery. Genesis 3:9 reads, "God called out to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" So this is another famous verse from the Bible. It's been depicted in famous paintings and other works of art. But after Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge, they hid from God. Or maybe more realistically, you could say they tried to hide. God asks, "Where are you?" as if God didn't already know. You have to kind of imagine how silly this must have looked. God is everywhere. And it's important to understand that our understanding of the Bible is that Adam and Eve were people at a very, very high level of spiritual awareness and knowledge. They were created by the hand of God directly. They understood that God is everywhere, and they understood that God is all-knowing and all-seeing. So the idea that they could actually hide, you know, run into the bushes and hide, is really laughable, but it's revealing of a behavior that I think we can learn something from. God asks, "Where are you?" as if God doesn't already know. As recovering addicts, we can learn two important concepts On one level, we should understand that God sees all of our deeds, even if we are trying to hide from Him. We may be able to fool others, or even ourselves, if we are faking our way through recovery or through life. But God knows what is going on. We cannot hide. If we are ready to do the work, we should understand that this is an opportunity and a blessing, not a punishment. This might be easier said than done, but this is the opportunity here. Being unable to hide from God also means that God is always with us. We are never alone. And this should be comforting for those of us who struggle with isolation and recovery. I know I've struggled with isolation and recovery, and I have to remind myself that God is with me, even if I'm doing things that God may not approve of. God will not leave me. In addition, this verse introduces the idea that of God giving us the chance to repent. God knows where Adam and Eve are. He's asking, "Where are you?" because He wants to give them the chance to admit what they did and repent. God has mercy on us so much of the time. Even when we don't deserve it, God gives us the chance to repent and make amends and say that we are sorry. If we are working well in recovery, we will perceive when this opportunity is being extended to us and act on it. The seventh day of the first week of the year is Genesis 3:12, where it says, "The man said, 'The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.' And God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Another famous, famous moment in the early part of the Bible. This is the passing of the buck, so to speak. God asks Adam, why did you do this? He blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. The instinct to blame others for our bad behavior is quintessentially human and one of the greatest defects of character that we suffer from as alcoholics. As alcoholics, we often want to make everything that is wrong in our life someone else's fault. And perhaps it is someone else's fault sometimes. However, it is unlikely that every problem you face as an addict is the fault of everyone else but you. And, you know, this, of course, comes up in fourth step. You know, we play a role in creating problems we face in alcoholism and recovery. The program tells us to promptly admit when we are wrong as well. When we do so, recovery and serenity follow. That is the message of this verse. This verse should remind us that the urge to blame others for our own lack of judgment will not help us.
You've been listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible. www.foriwillbewithyou.com.